Blog Talk Radio.
Hailing frequencies open, sir.
Link established.
You're connected to the Access America Radio Network.
Ah, I have access.
Welcome to a very special edition of the Satellite Guys Radio Show. My name is Scott Gruskowski, and I'm joined tonight by goalie Bob Nevitz. Bob, how you doing?
I'm doing good. How was your weekend, Scott?
Well, hopefully it'll be a little better, and we'll explain that in a little bit here. We've got a big announcement coming up. And also tonight we're joined by our uplink guru, DigiBlur, but we'll call him Travis tonight. Travis, how you doing?
Hey, pretty good.
All right. Well, we're not going to keep people listening who don't want to listen too long here, and it's been teased out, and it wasn't really meant to be a tease, so I really want to explain what's going on. So if you guys don't mind, I'm going to take a couple minutes here and explain to people what's up.
Go for it.
All right. Well, I'm kind of nervous doing this, and nervous because some people are going to accuse me of being of basically selling out, and I want to address it with you guys and let you know what's really going on behind the scenes here. And I don't want to be known as a sellout, so that's why I'm addressing it here live. You're going to hear it from the horse's mouth. I'm telling you what's going on, and if you have any questions or concerns, you'll be able to call in the show here and ask me those questions live on the air. I've got nothing to hide. I want to be upfront and honest with you guys about what's going on. As you know, we've been having personally some money issues, due to the reasons taking care of family, I guess you'd say. For the past couple of years, been taking care of my father, who got injured at a job and became unemployed and hasn't worked again. My father basically lost everything he had and was forced to move basically to the slums, and it was the slums. There were shootings and drug deals and all kinds of crap going on over there. So me and my wife got together a couple years ago, and we purchased him a house. Luckily, we got him a house before the entire market fell apart. And my father's on unemployment. He has been on unemployment for a couple of years now. I'm kind of surprised he's still collecting unemployment. And that money is basically coming to us to help pay for his house. It's not even enough to cover what the mortgage on his house costs, but I'd rather have him live in a nice, safe house, a nice, safe neighborhood. He's got a wife and girlfriend, a girlfriend who's living with him, and their two kids, and their two kids are now going to a really good school here in town, and it's something that I was really happy to do. But because of that, all my extra spending money has been being spent on my father, so money's been tight. And then there's the cost of operating a site like Satellite Guys. We do have sponsors, and we have all the ads and stuff, but sometimes it doesn't cover all the bills. Right now we're in a slight deficit for bandwidth costs, but that's nothing. And you know, I enjoy pitching in from my own pocket. I don't have any problem doing that. And that's what's happening there. This is a hobby for me. This is not a job. I could really make a lot of money with Satellite Guys if I really really wanted to, but I enjoy it. And if it was a job, I don't think I'd enjoy it as much. So. That's what I got to say there about that. I don't mind paying for stuff out of my pocket. I sincerely thank all the pub members for their support, helping us pay the bills. I thank our sponsors. We got Satellite AV, we've got DishStore.net, we've got WS International, we got Applied Instruments, and a couple other ones there. And they're all great. And someone says, "Well, why don't you just charge those guys more money?" And the way the market is right now, you don't go raising prices on good people. And I'm proud to have those guys as my sponsors, and hopefully they'll stick around for a long time. So, anyways, the big announcement. There was an opportunity that came up to me right after CES, and it's something I've been battling back and forth about for a while now. And I've been deliberating it with our staff, and we've got a great staff here. They've all given me their honest thoughts and feedback on things as I'm in negotiations here. And, what it boils down to is, I was offered a position to do something for somebody, and for not just a bit of money, which will help out things around here, and that somebody is Dish Network. Basically, Dish Network has hired me on as an independent subcontractor, and I will be launching a new technical support website for Dish Network, and I'll be running it for them, and I'm looking forward to doing that. In fact, I've already started working on that for them. I became an employee, well, I say employee, but I'm actually a subcontractor. I'm on month-to-month with Dish Network. What does this mean for satellite, guys? That's the big question that everybody has, and the answer to that is it means absolutely nothing to satellite guys. I'm proud to say that. During the entire negotiation process, they wanted me to sign non-disclosure agreements and this contract and this contract, and I wouldn't do it. You know, the money they offered me was okay, but I wasn't going to sign it. I wasn't going to lose my independence. I enjoy telling you guys, our satellite guys members, how I feel about things, and I'm going to give you my honest opinions like I always do, the good and the bad. And if it means saying stuff about bad things about Dish Network, then hopefully they don't do anything bad, so I don't have to say anything bad about them. But if they do, I'm going to hammer them just like I always done, and that's my promise to you guys. And so nothing changes here at Satellite Guys. I'm not going anywhere. I saw a lot of you guys in the pub member area who were really nervous about this announcement tonight, but nothing's going to change there. And I'm also proud to be able to help out Dish Network with their new technical support website. It's going to be an online forum, just like Satellite Guys, and it's going to be a little different than Satellite Guys. Here at Satellite Guys, we do things a little differently than any other forum, and I think that's what makes us great. But by the same token, if someone comes in looking for support, they don't really have a good time finding the answer. It's kind of hard to find things. You know, if someone comes in and asks a question, normally it's answered within a matter of seconds, which is great. But then after that, the conversation for that thread turns into a completely different topic, just, you know, goes off on its own tangent. And with the Dish Network technical support website, it's going to be a little more moderated. So that way, when a person gets the correct answer to their problem, we basically close it out. So that way, other people coming to the technical support website can find what's going on and find a solution to their problem easily. And that's what it is. I'm month to month with Dish Network. I am a subcontractor, and Satellite Guys is remaining as is. We'll continue kicking ass like we always have. And I thank all you guys for your support. And saying this, Bob, I don't know, it's almost like a weight's being lifted off my shoulder a little bit.
Yeah, Scott, you know, I think a lot of our members can sympathize with your situation. I know I can, because I'm in the same situation that your father's in. I was working and now I'm not because of the economy. And, you know, there's a lot of hurt going around in this country, and it's a very real hurt that's going around with the lack of jobs that are out there. And, you know, people not only are looking to sacrifice in terms of service, they're also looking for other ways that they can earn so that way they can keep their bottom line going. And I applaud you for taking care of your family first, because really that's what needs to be done.
Yeah. So, you know, my father's in a weird position right now. He's going to be turning 60 in April, and he can't find work, and he thinks he can't find work because of his age. And it's a sad thing, and I'm worried about the future for him, what he's going to do, because honestly, I don't think I can support him forever, and he doesn't have anything to his name, so we're going to try our hardest, and that's why I took this position with Dish Network, and I hope you guys understand. Someone in the chat asked if I was going to be getting free service from Dish Network. Actually, the answer to that one is no, and I don't want free service from Dish Network. I don't want to be claimed to being paid off to say good things or bad things. I'm going to continue being me, telling you the good and the bad about both companies, or all three companies when you figure in Extreme HD, and that's the way it's going to go.
Yeah, you know, I think with that is the typical EchoStar employee gets like the bottom package for free, and that's usually what they give all their employees that work at Dish. At least that's how it was when I was working there.
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't ask, and I didn't want free service. That's my own decision. I'm sure if I would have asked for it, they would have gave it to me. And the people from Dish have been excellent to me during the entire ordeal. I was really surprised they continued talking to me when I stood my ground and said, no, I'm not signing an NDA. They said, okay. And then they said, we'll call you back. And then they called me back. Okay, well, if you don't sign an NDA, will you still be willing to do this for you? And I said, sure. I said, but I'm not going to change what I'm saying. And I actually talked to a couple people at Dish, a couple people higher up in the company. And, in fact, one person told me that they depend on me not changing the way I am because they find out more truthful information about what's going on inside their company than they do from their own internal employees, because people working inside the company basically are trying to make the upper management happy all the time with their answers. And I just basically tell it the way it is, the way I see it. And, you know, I'm not 100% right all the time on things I say, but I think I got a pretty good grasp of what people want.
And yeah, look at what's happening today with the DirecTV ads that are going, a lot of the satellite changes that are happening, and I think that it could potentially end up being better for satellite guys versus what we have now. I mean, we have a better communication line with DirecTV or with Dish Network, and we got like uplink reports coming. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, and you know, on the DirecTV side, I'm working to improve things there. They're trying to work against me, but I'm still pushing along. And we've broke a couple DirecTV news stories this week that the other guys didn't catch on to for quite a while, and I'm proud of that, and we're going to keep on doing that. And I've got a couple insiders there who are starting to feed me some information, so hopefully our DirecTV side of things will pick up there too. You know, so look for no real changes to satellite, guys. Things are going to go on as they always have been. And if you guys have questions or comments on this, please give us a call. Give me a call. I'm here to take your questions tonight. The phone number to call in is 877-SAT-GUYS. That's 877-728-4897. And I pay for that call, too. You know, when doing this show, it costs me money to do the show. I got to pay Blog Talk Radio for the premium access to the phone lines. I pay to do all kinds of things, you know, going to CES every year. I pay that out of my own pocket. You know, we have big staff dinners. Bob knows about the staff dinners. And, you know, we even give staff some money when they go to some stuff for us just to say thank you. And that all comes out of my own pocket. So this job here with Dish Network, this will help out a little bit, and I'm grateful for it. Again, if you want to call us and talk to us about this or have any questions, the number to call in is 877-728-4897. And I really would like to hear from some of you guys out there. And I want you to understand that I'm not selling out. That's an important thing to get out there.
You know, Scott, you're talking about going to the Hamvention this year in Dayton, Ohio, and maybe this year we can buy you a dinner versus us, the staff, buying us dinners. I know I'm still stuffed from Texas Day Brazil, and, you know, Scott, you deserve it. You do more than enough for the site, and that shows in the member base that we have, and everybody absolutely loves the way that the site's ran, and they don't want it changed because this is the one place that we can go and get real honest feedback and not have to worry about our views being censored.
Yep, and it's going to stay that way, and that's something I'm proud of. So if you want to call in, the number is 877-728-4897. Someone's asking if they can call the number that's listed on Blog Talk. You can call that if you want. That's long distance, though. We actually, our 800 number here is actually really cheap. Since we've been doing this for a month now, our 800 number bill has only been $20, so it's not that expensive, folks. And again, thank you for all your support and kind words. I couldn't believe reading the pub member area over the past couple of days of some of the ideas and thoughts that people had about, you know, what could happen to satellite guys. And it really meant a lot to me, guys. And I can't tell you how much I appreciate your kind words and stuff that you said. So that's what we got there. So, okay, phone lines are open, 877-SAT-GUYS, 877-728-4897. And we've also got a jam-packed chat room tonight. The chat is open. Come to the chat room at chat.satelliteguys.us. And if you're listening on the Friday night replay on Access America, well, don't go to the chat because I'm in bed. All right, so DigiBlur, let's go to Travis out there. DigiBlur, if you don't know him, is the keeper of our uplink reports. In fact, he writes all the programs necessary for the uplink center reports to work. Travis, how did you learn how to do all that stuff? Travis is on mute.
Uh-oh. I have him on air.
No, he's on mute.
Okay.
I think I put him to sleep. Travis.
Give me that filet of fish. Give me that fish. Let me see if I can try clicking on him. Are you there, Travis?
Oop, now you just took him off air. Hold on.
Okay.
All right. You got to love technical glitches. We'll repeat the announcement, and not the full announcement, in a couple seconds. Travis, you there now? I don't hear him at all.
Sounds like he's muted somewhere.
His uplink computer has crashed. All right, well.
This network's like, no uplink for you no more. I'm going to have him call back in.
Yeah, I'm going to send him a message here in the chat room. Get back in. All right.
Well, while we're waiting for Travis to come join us back here at the Satellite Guys Radio Network, you know, Scott, this week has been pretty eventful between Dish Network and DirecTV and the ads that they've been, or the mud they've been slinging together.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. DirecTV introduced a new line of commercials, a series called To Tell the Truth, based on the popular 70s game show. And it's actually a game show I miss from Game Show Network. They don't air it anymore, and I used to love watching that show. But I digress. The new ads feature Alex Trebek. He's the host of the show, and it features DirecTV as one of the contestants, Dish Network as another contestant, and the cable company as another one. And if you've seen the first ad at Satellite Guys, it's kind of funny because for an ad called To Tell the Truth, DirecTV is not exactly telling the truth in the ad. My understanding is they make a comment saying that, and they give a list of channels that are not available in Dish Network's basic package. But if you go and look at DirecTV's site, those channels aren't in DirecTV's basic package anyway either. So they're not really telling the truth there. The other thing that really I expect Dish to pick up on is that they advertise the fact that you can, you know, get your first year subscription for half price. I can see Dish coming out of the corner in that one and saying, well, after your first year at DirecTV, your bill's going up 100%. And they'd be right. All right, so let's see here. DigiBlur is back online now. Travis, are you there?
Can you hear me on this one now?
Yeah, we can hear you now.
Oh.
Okay. I don't know what it was. I wasn't muted on my line. I don't know if something got hung up or what. So.
Yeah, you got to love the internet. All right, well, you're back online, and as I mentioned before, you're the genius behind our Uplink Report. Uplink Reports were started by a man named John H. back in the DBS forums days, and then he started doing Uplink Reports at DBS Talk, and has retired from doing Uplink Reports because now he's traveling and seeing the world in his free time. So we're very happy for John H. But you've kind of picked up the ball and ran with it and scored like 50,000 touchdowns. You've written software that completely automates the Uplink Report. Can you tell us a little bit about it?
Basically, it's the software that runs, takes snapshots of the tables, which I know a lot of people have asked before, is it any kind of hacking? But and it's not. The Uplink tables are not encrypted. They're pretty much anyone with a program such as TS Reader and a satellite tuner card and a view to the south, you can take a look at the channel tables. And from there, it was just a matter of writing an application that would run, say, every 10, 15 minutes and take snapshots and then compare the two snapshots against each other. And they used to be done manually. And actually, it was done by hand before, I know Gully Bob was doing them by hand before the program was written. And I talked to Goli, and he was saying about how he was doing it by hand, and I said, well, I can write a program to do that. So I wrote a program that was very rude and crude, if you remember the Uplink Reports from several years ago. And we went from there, and I went and automated it, and it's been just slowly adding piece by piece everything from, you know, adding the different colors to make it easier to read, adding the spot link, spot beam link maps, which that all of those maps come from Nelson 61, which I'm very appreciative of for doing a lot of the maps for us, and adding everything from the city names, the affiliations, whether it's a Fox station, ABC station, just numerous changes as it's grown over the years, just to make it easier for you guys to read.
Yeah, it was really a tedious process when you took it over for me, because basically comparing what changes happened where on what satellite and what orbital location, it was really a tedious process that the software that DigiBlur wrote really took all that tedious process and turned it into something that could be snapped out every couple minutes.
Right, and it really makes it easy.
It surely has come a long way. And you mentioned the sat maps that people can click on and see where the spot beams are coming from. And that's a really neat feature. And I don't think a lot of people realize that there's a lot of clickable links inside each uplink report. And that gives you a lot of information. It's not just an uplink report. And I also got a funny story to tell. I was actually at the Dish Network Uplink Center one Wednesday when the uplink was actually taking place. And it was kind of funny. I was standing there with one of the engineers, and my iPhone went off and with an email, so I looked at my email, and there was the email, because I get emailed the uplink reports, and I showed it to the person at the uplink center, and he goes, "Wow, you guys are fast. I just put that up like 2 or 3 minutes ago." And then he looked at it, and he goes, "I think your guys are more accurate with your stuff than what I have here in my handwritten log." And he was kind of shocked and impressed with how well it worked and how fast it ran, and that was pretty cool.
Yep, and that's some of the automation stuff that we have. I have it automatically send myself a text message, send out an email, and now I can't add everybody's cell phone to send out a text message to everybody. But so y'all just have to keep checking the site for when the new logs come out. So
yeah, it's a great thing. Well, we got a bunch of stuff going on besides uplink stuff. Well, it involves uplinks. Echo Star 14 looks like it's going to be going up this Saturday at 2 something in the afternoon. I don't have it here in front. Let's see here. Got my show notes here. 2:27 p.m. on the East Coast is going to lift off on Saturday, and that's going to the 119 orbital location. Can you tell us a little bit about that satellite, Travis?
I can tell you a lot about it. The satellite will offer service to the U.S. and also to Puerto Rico. Spot beams include all 50 states, including Cuba and Puerto Rico. So I know a lot of the Puerto Rico folks will enjoy that, because there's actually some spot beams for those guys too. So, which I'm speculating that they'll add some more HD channels to their package, and possibly also to the Alaska and the Hawaii people too. You can also watch it on Channel 101 on Dish Network, and I believe it starts at that time block was 2 p.m. to 3 p.m. Eastern if you check your guide.
And also at ilslaunch.com, it'll be available on the web if you're not by a satellite dish.
Correct. And that is going to the 119 degree slot to replace Echo Star 7. Like Scott said, it'll launch on the 20th. From some of the different filings and whatnot, figure the satellite should arrive 10 days later. They're going to test it at 138. They're going to test it at 138 because, of course, they've designed this satellite to use all 32 transponders, but, of course, they don't have the licenses for all 32 there because the DirecTV uses some of the transponders on 119 on their satellite. But I believe that the satellite should be there 10 days later at 138. They'll test it out for a while. Then it'll move on over to 119. We'll probably start to see traffic move over from Echo Star 7 to 119 to Echo Star 14, probably around late May, early June at the earliest.
Mm-hmm. A memo on that today saying about how to start offloading it.
Correct. And just to talk a little about Echo Star 7, Echo Star 7 was Echo Star's first spot beam satellite, I believe, because I think Echo Star 8 was also spot beam. So the spot beams they're on Echo Star 7 were very large. It was only designed with two uplink centers. So in turn, some of the movers or the RV folks that were maybe traveling around inside that spot beam, they now might find that when they travel to a different area, they may not get their locals they were used to getting, because some of the spot beams on 119 will be smaller because it's a more efficient bird. And also that they'll be using 5 to 6 uplink centers instead of 2, which will allow them to have many more spot beams than what they currently have on EchoStar 7. So I would expect some of the different areas, such as I know one of them, like Wichita, Kansas, is one of the areas that they don't have HD locals yet. I would expect them to get HD locals with this satellite. Same thing for, like, I know there's some other areas like Shreveport, Louisiana. There's several areas that seem to be kind of skipped in the HD locals, but problem is there's no room for HD locals.
Well, speaking of HD, and that's the one of the most popular things in the Uplink Report. Everybody's looking for the new HD. And I think it's because of the Uplink Report, Dish Network has changed the way they uplink stuff. Instead of just throwing the channels up there with the channel name and doing stuff, they've actually uplinked a bunch of test channels. And those test channels are just blank HD channels until they load something on them. So looking at it from an Uplink Report, you're not seeing any changes made because those test channels are always up there. But some interesting things here we found out through the grapevine, per se, that Dish is testing a bunch of HD. In fact, this week, a couple new HD channels have gone online in testing, and we announced that earlier for our pub members, our supporters, who we announced that to them, and I'm just getting my list here. And currently, here's what's testing on Dish Network, and the three new channels that went up this week are G4 HD, which is the games channel, Wild HD. That's actually currently showing Fox Reality, but at the end of the month, Fox Reality is going off the air and it's becoming National Geographic Wild, and Dish Network will have Wild HD. The other channel to go up is Style HD, which is like a fashion channel from the same folks who bring you E! Entertainment Television. And in scanning around, I was able to look around on an engineering box. I got to see that History Channel International HD was up. Headline News HD, HLN, is up. Turner Classic Movies HD is up. QVC HD is also up. Outdoor Channel HD is up and running. And Epix HD is up and running. And sometime along the line, they snuck back in the standard definition of Epix HD, so it looks like we could be getting that one very soon as well. And those are the test channels on Dish Network currently. So you're not going to see these in the Uplink Report until what they're going to do is they're going to rename them and put them in the correct channel location, and then you'll see them. But that's what's going on in the HD world at Dish Network.
You know, Scott, when you look at the channels that they're planning on launching from that list, they're becoming a very viable competitor in the HD market arena. They almost have the same amount of channels that places like AT&T UVerse have or Verizon Fios. Really, Dish has got a lot going on with that we didn't realize that they had going on.
Yeah, well, they got basically every channel that people want, and the only ones they're really missing are the channels owned by Rainbow. I don't expect to see those until this entire Dish Network boom lawsuit goes away. So, you know, I don't know what to expect there. By the way, an interesting channel I saw today as well when I was scanning around, and I don't have a chance to scan around like this too often. It was kind of a special for me that somebody did. So I was flipping around, and there's a channel that's not available to subscribers yet. It's called Twitter, and it was uplinked on, I believe it was February 2nd. And what it is, it shows news feeds in two columns. On the left-hand side, there's world news. On the right-hand side, there is sports tweets, and there are actual live Twitter feeds from different news services up there. And down the bottom, what I found interesting was they have a crawl, and anytime anybody punches into Twitter, pound Dish Network, that tweet goes on to the Twitter channel and is broadcast as is. And it was kind of funny because when I first turned on the channel, the first thing I saw was my name going across the screen. Somebody tweeted a comment I made. And it was going across the screen there, and I thought that was cool, so I grabbed a screenshot of that, and I actually posted that to the pub member area. Well, you're listening to the Satellite Guys radio show. My name is Scott Gruskowski with Goalie Bob Nemitz, and tonight's special guest, DigiBlur, And we got to take a time out because we're here at the bottom of the hour, but we'll be back in just 1 second. Before we go to that break, once again, please call in. I want to hear your thoughts on what I announced earlier. And if you missed what I announced, I'll be just talking about it again in a brief second. So stay tuned. You're listening to the Satellite Guys Radio Show here on the Access America Radio Network and Blog Talk Network.
Via satellite to North America, through the Internet to the world, this is Access America.
And good evening, everyone. My name is Scott Kraskowski. You're listening to the Satellite Guys Radio Show. Our phone lines are wide open, and I do hope that somebody calls in and has questions, because I honestly, people, I don't want you to think I sold out, because that would make me feel bad. But please give us a call and let me know what you think of the announcement. And if you missed the announcement, I was asked to join Dish Network and to create a new technical support forum for Dish Network. And after a lot of negotiations and thinking and thoughts back and forth, I took the position, and I'm now working on this new website for Dish Network, which I hope to launch pretty soon. And it's going to be a technical support forum for them. While I'm working for Dish Network, my views on things are not going to change. Nothing's going to change at Satellite Guys. Things are going to run like they are. I'm not under any non-disclosure agreements with Dish Network. I'm the same old Scott that some of you hate and some of you love, and I'm happy about that. So that was what the big announcement was, and I'm proud to say I am a Satellite Guy, and I will remain a Satellite Guy. Someone asked me in the chat saying, you know, is Satellite Guys for sale? Well, I'm never going to say no to that answer anymore. I think I said no a long time ago, but anybody can have a price, I guess, and if the right dollar amount came through, I think anybody would sell. But I ain't going anywhere, not for the time being. So sit back, relax, enjoy Satellite Guys, because we are America's number one satellite information forum, and I'm really proud of that. Okay, we are joined by Goli Bob and DigiBlur, and we were talking about HD before we went away, and we're talking about the Twitter channel there. But there's another satellite being launched this year by Dish Network that's going to be EchoStar 15, and Travis, I understand that you have a lot more information on EchoStar 15. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
EchoStar 15, of course, everyone knows about the fun with EchoStar 3 at 61.5. That currently has a few issues, which they also have EchoStar 6 backing up EchoStar 3 in case there are any additional failures. You're not going to lose your channels. But EchoStar 15... it looks like that bird is going to be hurried into orbit for launch around September of this year. It's not going to be any kind of spot beam satellite. It's going to be what they call a CONUS Plus, which is the continental U.S., and a Puerto Rico beam. Sorry about that. And that's going to be probably, I suspect you'll see that around, you know, towards probably October for the 61.5 location.
Let's hope the bird that's currently at 61.5 makes it that long. But I guess the new bird, EchoStar 6, is now there as a backup?
Yes, correct. And actually, EchoStar 6 is currently transmitting and testing on four transponders that EchoStar 3 can't transmit on due to some failures. The four transponders don't have any services. That's for, you know, typical customers this time. And I wouldn't expect anything further to be seen on EchoStar 6 unless, you know, of course, EchoStar 3 suffers another failure. The way EchoStar filed with the FCC to be as a hot spare, where if there's a failure of some sort of EchoStar 3 again, they can immediately flip it over to EchoStar 6, and, you know, you only notice the blackout probably, you know, several minutes or so.
And really, EchoStar 3 is like living on a prayer right now.
Yeah, I think it was launched. That was launched back in 97 or 98. I know they've had a few different overheating issues and power issues with that bird. So it's getting towards the end of its lifetime anyway. And, of course, everyone knows about if you were around during the AMC 14 disaster where it didn't make it into orbit. So hopefully we won't have that again with EchoStar 15.
Yeah, well, yeah, it seems like they're placing all bets on EchoStar 14 making it up. And all I can say, that EchoStar 14 is Godspeed and good luck, and hopefully you make it. And if not, then Dish has got a world of problems ahead of him. But we'll look on the brighter side instead of the gloomy side, because that's where the happiness is. When you can light up new HD channels and people get the programming they want, that's a good thing.
And currently there's... Oh, go ahead, Digi.
I see one of the questions in the chat room about the Puerto Rico. I actually did look at that today. I know for a fact that on the current testing, virtual transponders they have set up for EchoStar 14 going to 119, there are three transponders, and those will be in APS-K, so I'm assuming that'll be HD content. But I believe there's a total of four transponders that they will have available for spot beams for Puerto Rico if they stay with the current mimicking of EchoStar 7 of only using five transponders for spot beams. If they move up to like six or seven, then I believe there'll be an additional fifth transponder over Puerto Rico.
What I found really interesting over at the 119 slot was the fact that they are using all, well, they're not using all 32, but they have the hot spares there, so that way if any of the frequencies that DirecTV is using goes down, they can easily use that bird.
Yeah, if ever they decide to trade licenses, but I don't see that anytime soon.
Not with the way they're fighting. And if you have a question, the phone lines are open right now at 877-728-4897. That's 877-SAT-GUYS, and we do have a caller on the line right now. So what we're going to do is we're going to go to the 716 area code and say, hello, caller, you're on the air.
Hey, Scott, this is C. Parker. I finally found my phone.
Hey, it's under the cushion of the couch.
It was out in the kitchen. Go figure. Anyways, I wanted to call in and say that regarding your announcement, I don't think it was a sellout at all. I think you did the right thing. I think you took advantage of an opportunity that presented itself, and I don't see that, from the way you've explained it, I don't see that your ethics have been compromised in any way, shape, or form.
Well, that is actually one thing I was worried about, because I am still writing for multi-channel, and I don't want people to think I am too slanted. A lot of people say I'm anti-DirecTV, and actually I'm not really anti-DirecTV. I'm anti-DirecTV management, just because of some of the ways we've been treated here at Satellite Guys by DirecTV's management. But some of the things they got going for them, such as this new multi-room viewing technology, and also this new DECA technology which they're using, which sends the DirecTV satellite signal over Ethernet cables, is amazing stuff, and I'm very impressed with it. And DirecTV is taking a real lead there in doing that. But in writing the multi-channel, I'm trying to call it as fair as I can, but also keep my normal comments of what I find good and what I found bad, and I'm going to stick by my guns, just because I get a check in the mail once a month from Dish Network. It's not going to change my views on either company, and you can count on that.
Do you have something in mind as far as how the forum is going to work? I mean, will there be technicians from Dish, jumping into the forum and helping people out, or is it going to be all community support?
Most of it's going to be community support. They're still a little shy about their official people posting in a forum environment. But with that said, they have told me that if there's a question out there that can't be answered, instead of the technician answering it directly, they'll email me the answers to the question and be able to help the person out if I don't know.
Well, that seems fair enough.
Yeah, that seems like a good solution to me. And I'm excited about it. The whole reason I do Satellite Guys is because I love satellite. I don't love Dish Network. I don't love DirecTV. Don't love Extreme HD. Don't love C-band. I love all of satellite. And I find it amazing that you can get satellite signals bouncing off a little Volkswagen, floating 22,000 miles in the air. It's just amazing to me, and I love being able to share that joy with people and let them enjoy this neat entertainment that will provide you programming anywhere you are in the United States, as long as you can see that Volkswagen floating in the sky.
Now, if they could just figure out that Buffalo is not a Western city, and bounce them off the right Volkswagen, so that I could actually get all the HD that they just put up there. Because I'm one of those people that's got the 110, 119, and then a 61.5 wing. And if I get rid of that 129 around here is so low on the horizon, I don't think you could shoot over the house next door and get it.
Well, here's something interesting, and it hopefully doesn't make people mad, but I got this right before we went on the air tonight from one of my insiders, and I have not verified it. But according to this person, that technicians received this email tonight saying, and I'll read it here verbatim, saying, with the recent launch of new HD channels on 129 and 72.7 satellite locations, many customers require a migration to Western ARC. Customers within the following DMAs are not eligible for the migration promotion. If the 129 or 72.7 orbital locations are not currently on the customer's account, then we do not have a solution to view these new channels at this time. And then they give a list of the DMAs which do not qualify. And this is where people are going to get upset. The DMAs that do not qualify are Anchorage, Alaska, Albany, New York, Bangor, Maine, Binghamton, New York, Buffalo, New York, Burlington, Vermont, Fairbanks, Alaska, Flint, Michigan, Honolulu, Hawaii, Juneau, Alaska, Portland, Auburn, Maine, Something Isle, Maine, I can't read the thing here, Providence, Rhode Island, Puerto Rico, Rochester, New York, Syracuse, New York, Traverse City, Cadillac, Michigan, U.S. Virgin Islands, Utica, New York, and Watertown, New York. Basically, for those people, they don't have a solution for them right now to get the new HD channels, and I personally think that's stupid. You know, I understand why some of the channels were put on 72.7 instead of 61.5 because of the satellite issues there, and I also understand they're not going to move them to 61.5 when there's a working 61.5 satellite there. But someone did not think about this one because you've got a lot of customers that cannot get the new HD channels, and I find that really unacceptable. And I also believe that those people who cannot receive the new HD channels because of where they live should be eligible for some kind of discount for not receiving all the HD channels that they're paying for.
I think that would be at least some kind of a token from DISH to say, you know, they've only got so much equipment, so much capacity, in, you know, per slot. And if things just worked out that way, then yeah, you're right. They should be giving something back to the people. I mean, I've been a DISH customer since before they had installers. They sent you everything in a box, and you bolted it on your house yourself. I just think that there should be something there for people that have been around for the long haul.
Yeah, I definitely do as well. And, you know, basically reading that tells me that basically they want the customer to go to DirecTV. If they're not going to provide them a solution to receive the new HD channels, then what other choices do they have?
Yeah, it's direct here. It's DirecTV or Time Warner, and I won't use a cable company's DVR because they all are pretty terrible. So I looked at the TiVo premieres and cable, because I've actually looked at this because I wasn't sure what I was going to do about DISH.
Right.
I find it very funny that Time Warner has gone to Switch Digital, and the cable cards that they provide for you do not handle Switch Digital. So
in some areas,
so I don't have a choice except for DirecTV. It's just that I've got so much invested in DISH equipment now, I'd have to reinvest in DirecTV equipment. I don't have a good solution for myself, let alone having someone else come up with one.
It's sad though, because so many people are excited that DISH is finally really, really rolling on the HD bandwagon, and now that they're rolling, a lot of these people cannot see the signals That's kind of depressing to me, because everybody should be able to see everything, and they're not.
Okay. Well, I'm taking up your entire phone slot here, and I'm sure you've probably got other people in the queue. So I'm
well, thanks
to
for
go.
Your phone, Steve Parker.
Okay. You have fun.
All right. Have a good night.
All right. You too.
All right. The phone lines are open here on the Satellite Guys Radio Show, 877-728-4897. I want to hear your thoughts and comments on the announcement today, or any kind of uplink questions. We got about 15 minutes remaining in today's show. And by the way, if you're listening on the Access America Radio Network, after the show, live here on the Tuesday night show, stick around, because we're going to do the Satellite Guys after game show. And for people like Ray, and yes, Ray, I'm talking about you, so he's probably jumping around and happy and stuff like that. Got a special song for you guys, so stick around for that. That's going to be fun. And, well, Travis, let's talk about something a little more down in the future. We talked about EchoStar 15, but I understand you know something about another satellite coming down the line called EchoStar 16.
Yeah, the EchoStar 16, I believe that one's expected to launch sometime in 2011. I haven't seen anything further on that, which that will be also launched to 61.5. There will probably be a spot beam satellite to take over the duties of EchoStar 12. EchoStar 12, which that came from when they bought the Voom stuff, which was called Rainbow One, which has been since renamed. Relatively, it seems to be in decent shape as they're not using all the beams in the satellite nor all the transponders. But the biggest issue is the design of the satellite. Since Cablevision Voom only had a small set of licenses, the satellite was designed with a high number of uplink centers for high reuse of uplink frequencies. And, of course, it requires more uplink centers than any other dish network satellite out there. And, when they replace EchoStar 12 and put in the spot beam service from Echo 16, they could reduce a lot of their costs from the smaller uplink centers. So, but there's not a whole lot known about that one yet. We've seen it in different filings and whatnot, but that's supposed to be slated for next year. Also in 2011, they're supposed to be 77 degrees, which is also on the Eastern Arc, will be launched with I don't know how you pronounce the name, it's a Mexican satellite, the Quetzalcoatl. That one is speculated to also be spot beam also, just due to some of the agreements they have with interference issues with the Bell TV service, since 77 is so close to 82 degrees. And also because they are loading it up with a lot of the HD locals that are going for Eastern Arc or going to 77 now.
Well, I understand there's going to be some more shuffling tonight. As we tape this, it's Tuesday night. We're live on Tuesday night. A bunch of channels are going to be moving between 77 and 72. What approximate channels are moving tonight? I guess it's a bunch of pay-per-views?
Yeah, there's the HD pay-per-views, and there's a handful of other SD channels. I believe there's like seven or eight other audio channels that will move from 77 to 72 tonight. And also, I've seen some other reports that, and I know this has been kind of I don't know which one this is for. I believe it's the Rochester, New York. I know on the Charlie chat they said, I think it was Minnesota. I don't know if that slide was incorrect and the information I have is incorrect. And there was also the Traverse City, Michigan HD locals testing on Eastern Arc also. I think those were on 72, but they're going to move them probably to 77. Of course, you haven't seen those uplink reports because they're not actually in the tables.
Mm-hmm.
Now, for those...
Go ahead, Bob.
Oh, okay. Now, for those listeners who are tuning in for the first time tonight and might not know what Eastern Arc and Western Arc is, can you explain a little bit more on what those two arcs are and what they mean to Dish Network customers, Travis?
Yeah, the Western Arc consists of the 119, 110, and 129, which is put in with the 1000.2 dish. And you can't get confused really by the Western Arc and Eastern Arc. It doesn't necessarily mean that it's a Western city or an Eastern city. There's no definitive line. The Eastern Arc is the 61.5, 72.7, and 77 degrees, and that's with the dish 1000.4. And one other thing to note on the Eastern Arc, it's an all MPEG-4 service, so only the VIP line receivers work. You can't take like an older 301 receiver and plug it in and expect it to get service if you have an Eastern Arc dish. But the good thing about that is, all the receivers going in over there are all APSK capable, which means they can use the higher bandwidth transponder, and also their MPEG-4, which allows them to have the better compression on the video. Not necessarily the better video, just depends on how they uplink it and whatnot.
Now, Travis, on the 77-degree satellite, these new HD channels they put up, I've been receiving feedback from a lot of people saying that the HD coming off 77 looks better than any other HD on Dish Network. Have you had a chance to take a look at the bit rates on the 77 HD stuff, and is it better, or is it higher resolution?
No, I haven't been able to take a look at the bit rates myself on that satellite and compare the two between 129. I just have to take a look at that and see what the different bit rates are, compare those channels, if there is truly a difference between those two or not.
Because I was actually watching the Fox soccer channel, and that reminds me of HD the way it was when HD first started out, just like looking out your picture window. And it looks really, 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 really good. And we got another caller on the line here, so let's go now to the 440 area code and say, hello, caller, you're on the air.
Hello, Scott. This is H.D. Roberts.
Hey, H.D. Robert, how you doing?
Good. First of all, as far as your announcement goes, I do not believe you are selling out at all. You're making the best decision for your family, so I congratulate you on that. And I certainly want to thank also Travis to you for all the hard work that he does on the uplinks.
Thank you.
All right. I did have one question. We're talking a lot about the actually two questions, but first, we're talking a lot about future DISH satellites. Do we have any ideas of what they might be doing with the licenses that they hold for reverse DBS and those tweener slots like 86.5? Is there any word coming out? What's going on there?
I haven't heard anything on that except for just the information that what we've seen with the licenses and whatnot. I haven't seen anything about the different builds on the satellites. I haven't heard a peep out of anything on that.
Interesting. Just curious if you had known anything. Perhaps one other question, if I might digress perhaps for a moment. I have now almost been on the verge of talking several people into signing up for DISH, but they all have young children and cannot bear to be without the Sprout channel. So I know all the talks about new HD, but might DISH ever get around to adding Sprout, especially since there seems to be some Comcast HD channels showing up in
Thank
the
Thank you. I have a five-year-old that loves Sprout. Sprout, please.
And I like the girl who hosts the Good Night Show. She's hot, but I can't say that on the air because my wife's listening.
I haven't seen any information about that unless Scott has anything else to maybe add about that.
No, I haven't seen anything about it. It is a Comcast-owned station, and I'd love to see it, but I don't think they're really looking to push out new SD channels. What you notice them doing is some channels they're putting out there, instead of putting them out there in SD, they're putting up the HD versions and the HD versions only. So I don't think you're going to see Sprout unless Sprout has a plans for an HD version.
Which is really disappointing because in Sprout, the quality of programming that's on Sprout is world-class, and my daughter loves it. And that's the one thing that was one of the decisions that the reason why I got C-band satellite was because I could get Sprout in the $7 package and still make my five-year-old happy versus no Sprout at all.
Yes, but I don't think the average customer is going to want to put a big, ugly DISH out in the yard.
Well, at one time, DISH, the big problem with DISH was they got rid of Noggin at 6 o'clock at night when it was a 24-hour day channel. But now they kind of corrected that. So there is some family-friendly programming there, programming like Sprout. It's not the PBS stuff, but there's a lot of good stuff for the kids to watch that, you know, it's not violent or anything like that on the what are they calling it, Nick Jr. now? I believe Nick Noggin is now known as Nick Jr. So that's a good replacement. But I would love to see Sprout on there, and I got to agree with you on that one. Okay, Robert, we got another call.
All right.
Thank you for calling.
Thank you very much.
Good night. All right, that was Robert calling from the 440 area code. And we're going to take another call here. We're going to go to somebody who's calling in actually on Skype and say, hello, caller, you're on the air.
Hello?
Hello?
Hello? Hello, Scott?
Yes.
Hello? Yeah. Scott, you hear me?
Yep. I can hear
it's
you.
J. Torres from Puerto Rico. How are you doing, sir?
Hello, good and good. How's things down in Puerto Rico?
I'm doing fine. Not a sun. Yeah. I have a question for you, Scott.
Sure, go ahead.
Yeah. DJ, later on in the chat, he answered the question for me on 119. But on the satellite for 61.5, the new one they're going to launch, EchoStar 15, is that going to have spot beams for Puerto Rico too?
EchoStar 15, which will be the, it's not going to be a spot beam satellite, it's going to be a continental U.S. beam. But what they are calling it is a CONUS Plus beam, which means it will cover the entire United States, plus it will also cover Puerto Rico with a smaller standard dish like you would use in the 48 states.
Okay. Well, thank you. Congratulations, Scott, for your announcement. And for all you guys there in Satellite Guys, DG and Iceberg, all the people there have been helping me out. And congratulations to your site, number one site.
Thank you. Enjoy the sun. All right. There's a call there from Puerto Rico, and you're listening to the Satellite Guys Radio Show. We've only got a couple minutes left, about 4 minutes remaining here. So I do thank everybody for calling in. If you do want to get in and have a quick question, though, the phone lines are still open, and the number is 877-728-4897. That's 877-SAT-GUYS. And the chat room has been really buzzing tonight. Last time I counted, we had like 50-something people in there. And people have been coming and going, so that's really excellent. If you're listening on the Access America Radio Network, remember to stay tuned after the show for the Satellite Guys after show. I don't know, what are you calling it? The after show party or something like that, Bob?
It's the after party.
The after party. And tonight we got a reason to celebrate. Well, I do anyways. Since I make the announcement, I'm feeling a little better. It was a hard decision to make, and I'm happy that we made it. And I'm looking forward to serving people who don't know anything about Satellite Guys but want to know more on their satellite system. So that's a really great thing for me there. This week over at DBS Talk, they put up a review of the new HR24. And it looks like a really impressive receiver. I got to be honest. And I really like the DECA feature, which is DirecTV over Ethernet. And I also like the multi-room viewing. It's going to be the first one billed as the whole house DVR from DirecTV, and it looks really, really cool. The only thing that really depresses me about it, Bob, is that it's really running the same software that the now really old HR20 series is running, and I really wish they would have updated it to a modern-day software with an HD graphical user interface, and that would have made it a real kick-butt box.
Yeah, the UI on it—it's a lot of. That's the number one thing people complain about DirecTV boxes is the fact that the user interface really isn't all too well. When you take a look at it side by side with a 922, you can see that there's a world of difference between both boxes. But at the same time, if you're looking at it from DirecTV's point of view, why fix what's not broken?
Right. Well, I just think if they had a different operating system underneath it, first of all, it'd be faster, and they could use the full processing technology that I'm sure the new boxes have, and also give people a better looking experience instead of that thing that looks like a ColecoVision from 1987. That's my feeling on the DirecTV HR series. It could be so much better looking, and right now it just looks really, really silly. Well, we got about a minute left, so Travis, DigiBlur, thank you for joining us, and thank you for all your hard work on the Uplink report.
Thanks. I really enjoyed doing it for you guys out there with all the information I give to y'all every week.
Oh, that's great. And next week's show is going to be another interesting one. If you're a satellite installer or like installing stuff, we're going to have Tom Haywood on, and he's from Applied Instruments. Applied Instruments is the people who make the Super Buddy satellite meter, and he's going to be on for the full hour taking your calls, questions, and comments, talking about the Super Buddies and all the new products they're working on, and he's got a couple exciting things in the pipeline that us satellite guys will be really, really interested about, and that's going to be on next week's show. I do see we have a caller on the line here. We've got about a minute left. Let's see if we can get him in real quick. Hello, caller. You're on the air.
Hey, Scott.
Yes.
You guys hear me? Yeah, this is White Wolf. I'm in the room. I just want to say great job, and I'm behind you on what your decision was, and you did the right thing, and I'm just glad Satellite Guys is keeping going and continue great success with the site. I love it.
Well, excellent, White Wolf. Thank you for your call. We're running out of time here, so I got to cut you off and say join us again next week for Tom Haywood. He's going to be joining us from Applied Instruments. Bob, you got about 10 seconds or so. You got anything to say in closing?
Very good. Learned a lot tonight. Thank you, DigiBlur, and glad to have Applied Instruments on next week.
All right. We'll catch you next week here on the Satellite Guys Radio Show. Remember, if you're listening, stick around. Listening at Access America, stick around because we've got some good stuff coming up here in just a couple seconds. So stick around, and it will come right up. See ya!